It is good to be back with you tonight. You love the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. How many of you went home and had a Mater sandwich this afternoon? None of you. Just thought I would ask, that's all. Oh, me. If you would, take your Bibles. Turn to the book of Luke. Chapter 18, going to read verses 1 through 14. Luke 8, verses 1 through 14. How many of you, I couldn't really see a while ago, but while you're looking, how many of this is your first, anybody here the first time to be with me? Few. God bless you. You'll need it. Amen. Rest. Appreciate y'all being here tonight. I know we got a lot probably helping out with Awana, but I think we about got the crowd down now to a size I can handle, so don't go no lower. Amen. Glad you got Brother Corky coming this week and Brother Brandenburg, so at least you'll have two good preachers out of three, so that's not bad. Amen. And please tell Mike Brandenburg this for me. Tell him Aaron McCullough wants to know if he's ever got saved yet. And He'll appreciate that. Luke 18, starting with verse 1. If you would, stand in honor and respect for the reading of God's Word. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge who feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this woman troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And he spake this parable unto certain, which trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and despised others. Y'all caught that, didn't you? Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to the house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. I want to bring to you tonight a sermon that I have entitled, How to Go From Ordinary to Extraordinary, or From Ordinary to Extraordinary, according to how far out in the country you live, as to how you pronounce that word. If you're out in the city, it's extraordinary. If you're like me out in the country, it's extraordinary. Amen? Pray with me. Father, I do thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be here tonight. I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity you've given, Lord, to stand before your people and once again break the bread of life. Lord, I pray, Father, tonight for that anointing afresh and anew that comes only from you, Lord. God, that I might do what you've called me to do, Lord, in life, to preach your blessed gospel, Lord. And Father, that you'd anoint us as listeners, that we might hear your word, Lord, that we might receive it, and then once we've heard it and received it, Lord, then we would act upon it appropriately, Lord. Father, I pray, God, you'd continue to kindle the revival fires here tonight, Lord. God, thank you for the services of this morning. But Lord, that was this morning. And Lord, this is tonight. And here we are standing in need of another blessing, asking you, God, to search our hearts, know our minds, our thoughts, Lord, and just work in us your miracles, Lord, whatever we may need. For the lost, I pray you'd save them. For those who are cold at heart, draw them back to you. For those who have questions, Lord, I pray you'd show them you're the answer. God, send revival in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I want you to know that I'm here today or tonight just very simply as God's preacher boy. I'd rather do that than anything I know. Amen. I'd rather preach to eat when I'm hungry. Amen. You can tell I eat when I get hungry. Amen. I eat when I'm not hungry. Amen. You know, I can fill out a job application. It'll say hobbies. And I'll put eating. Amen. I tell folks when they look at my plate sometime at homecomings. Now, this has nothing to do with the sermon, Brother Udell, but I learned this trick a long time ago. How many young preachers I got in here? All right, you guys listen to me. I'm going to teach you something. Here is you a pastoral trick that 20 years worth of pastoring has taught me. When you have a homecoming service, you call on the chairman of the deacons to pray. And while he's praying, you move to the head of the line. Amen, brother. Amen. Are you there? Amen. And you always take two plates with you. Because that banana pudding and that good stuff that you're going to want later on, if you don't get it when you go through, it ain't going to be there, honey. Amen. He said, why did you tell all that, brother? And I don't know. But I tell folks when they see my homecoming plates, I tell them, I am a professional. Do not try this at home. Had nothing to do with the sermon. But amen, I'd rather preach than anything I know. Amen. I'd rather bring God's message to God's people on God's day than anything I know. Now tonight, God has laid this sermon on my heart. And I've entitled, How to Go from Ordinary to Extraordinary. The very first point I want you to understand tonight, if you don't get this, the rest of the sermon won't make any sense. That the difference between ordinary and extraordinary isn't very much. It is we who have made it such a great gulf in our minds between ordinary and extraordinary. We look at other folks and say they're extraordinary, but I could never be extraordinary. I'm just an old ordinary person. Well, I want you to know tonight that the difference between ordinary Christians and extraordinary Christians, the difference between ordinary churches and extraordinary churches, isn't very much. It's just a little bit. Let me give you an example that illustrates what I'm talking about. Now, I'm going back a few years. How many baseball fans do I have in here? How many of you remember the San Diego Padres when Tony Gwynn was playing with them? They were arguably the best minor league team in the majors back then. Amen? They weren't very good. But Tony Gwynn was their superstar. And Tim Flannery played on the same team, and he was a utility infielder. Now, Tony Gwynn's a superstar. Flannery's the infielder, utility infielder. Tony Gwynn's batting average was .340. Tim Flannery's batting average was .240. Tony Gwynn back then, now this has been years ago, was paid $3.5 million a year. There's some things in life I never will understand. That's one of them. Amen. Tim Flannery was paid $350,000 a year. Tony Gwynn will most likely be elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame as soon as he becomes eligible. Tim Flannery, in all likelihood, will not be. Now, you look at the difference in those two men that I've just described to you. Tony Gwynn is a superstar. 3.5 million. 340 batting average. Tim Flannery, utility infielder. 240 batting average. 350,000. Now what was the difference in these two men? Now what I'm going to tell you is going to knock your socks off. So just, you might want to just reach down and grab hold of your socks so that you don't lose them. Some of you really need to hold on to your socks so you don't lose them, because your feet might stink. Amen. I don't know. But listen. The difference between those two. Now listen to this. Out of every 10 trips to the plate with a bat in their hand, out of every 10 opportunities to hit the ball, here's the difference between a superstar and an infielder. Here's the difference between ordinary and extraordinary. You know what it was? Out of every 10 opportunities, Tony Gwynn got one more hit than Tim Flannery did. That's the difference between a 240 batting average and a 340 batting average. That's the difference between 3.5 million and 350,000. It ain't very much, is it? Amen. Just be successful one more time out of every 10 opportunities and you'll be a superstar. Somebody ought to be up shouting right now. Amen. How do you become an extraordinary Christian? Just one more time out of every 10 opportunities God gives you, hit the ball, honey.
Amen.
Amen. How do you become an extraordinary church? Just one more time out of every 10 opportunities, get on base. That's good preaching, ain't it? Amen. I like it. Amen. Well, glory. Now, what's my point? The difference between ordinary and extraordinary isn't very much. Now, point one of the real point one, that was just the overall point. The difference between ordinary and extraordinary is a little extra effort. In the illustration I've just mentioned, I would venture to say that Tony Gwynn put forth just a little more effort than Tim Flannery did. And I don't know Tony Gwynn or Tim Flannery, so I don't know. But I'm just surmising. Amen. Now, in the text scripture I've read today, we see a woman who was pleading her case before an unjust judge. But she was willing to put forth just a little extra effort. To put it in today's language, she nagged the judge to death until she got what she wanted. Amen. How many of you know that if you know where to look, you can find humor in the Bible? Amen. I like that scripture that I read just a moment ago. It's for the judge and said, avenge me of mine enemy. And said, and he would not. And then it tacked a little extra on there, man. It said, for a little while. Amen. Whoever wrote that book had to have a wife. Amen. Because I'll tell you something. They wind up getting their way, don't they, men? No to a woman. I love you, ladies. I love y'all. But no to a woman means just not right now. Amen. Hallelujah. I didn't know this was going to work into the sermon and had no clue and just a few minutes ago, but the couple on the far right back there, I don't even know y'all's names, but he's a first lieutenant in the Army. Brother Udell was telling me about it outside, and he flies them Cobra helicopters. He's a first lieutenant. His wife, who just got out of the Army, was a captain. Guess what? His wife outranked him.
Brother Udell took great pleasure in telling me that every once in a while she'd make him lock his heels and come to attention and salute. Honey, I want to tell you something. You ain't got nothing on my wife. My wife ain't never been in the army. And every once in a while I still have to lock my heels, come to attention, and salute. Some of you men, y'all go with this, can't you? Amen. I'm kind of like Jeff Easter said. Somebody told him one time, said when it come to women, he figured out he could be right or he could be happy. Can't be both, men. He said, you're looking at the world's happiest man. Amen. I got to get back on my sermon. But listen, she was willing to put forth just a little extra effort to get what she wanted. Now, you let me take a little licensure right here. Would you let me take a little artistic license here? This is not in the Bible, what I'm about to tell you. But it could have happened this way. It could have. Can't you see that little woman? And I picture maybe her as a widow woman, an older type woman, a grandmotherly type. That's what I picture in my mind. Can't you see her come into the courthouse and say, Judge, I want you to avenge me, my enemy. And he said, no, I ain't going to do that. And she said, that's okay, big boy. I'm retired. I ain't got nothing better to do than be here in your courtroom every time you have it. You see, no means to a woman, just not right now. Can't you see her sit down on the front row, come in the next day, send her, take her knitting out, knit one, purl two, ask the question, get told no. Comes in the third day, knit one, purl two, ask the question, get told no. Comes in the fourth day, the fifth day, the tenth day, the 20th day, 2 months later, 3 months later, knit one, purl two, ask the question, get told no. She's putting forth the extra effort. But can't you just see in your mind that one day the judge coming in to put his robe on, got to get ready to come into the courtroom, Brother Udell, slides the curtain back and said, oh my God, she's out there again. Oh cow God, take me away. And he finally comes out and said, woman, what do you want? Whatever it is, you can have it if you'll promise me you'll take your little knitting and your purling and you'll get out of my courtroom. Hey, somebody done said amen right there. Do you know what? She was willing to put forth just a little extra effort. About a year or so ago now, I think it was, I turned in on CNN one morning. And they were doing a story about the first man who was ever successful at climbing Mount Everest. He was an English gentleman. Now, they were celebrating the 50th anniversary of it, I believe, what they were doing. Now, I want to tell you something. I don't know much about mountain climbing. You can look at this body and tell I don't know much about physical sports. Told y'all eating's my hobby. But I will tell you something. Now this body that you're looking at is built for comfort and not for speed. Amen. I don't know why I'm going to say this. I shouldn't, but I'm going to say it. Y'all wouldn't believe it, but I was born this tall. No, not really. But I've always been tall, and until I was 25, I was extremely skinny. I mean, I looked like skin stretched over this frame. I was 6'5" and weighed 150 pounds on a good day. Hey, amen, I was skinny. And I had a boss tell me one time, said, Aaron, said, you're so skinny, said, if you'd stand sideways and stick your tongue out, everybody'd think you was a zipper. just threw that in there. But listen, I don't know anything about mountain climbing, but you know, I can do some deduction about that guy that was successful. You know what I can deduce? That he was willing to put forth the extra effort that it took to climb that mountain. I can tell you what didn't happen, Mr. Helicopter Pilot. He didn't find a helicopter somewhere and charter that thing when nobody was looking and said, drop me up here. They didn't have helicopters back then, I don't think. But that didn't happen. You know what else didn't happen, Brother Udale? He didn't know about a secret escalator on the backside of that thing that nobody else knew about. And got on it and right up the... No. He didn't go out strolling one day and get tripped up and fall away. Comes, well, Lord, look at here. I'm on the top of Mount Everest. How in the world did I... No. You know what he did? He made a decision. He said, I'll put forth the effort that it takes to be successful in this endeavor. You know what moves churches from being ordinary churches to extraordinary churches? Is when people just like you said, bless God, I may not be much, but such as I am, I'm going to put forth the effort to be successful at what God has called me to do. I'm going to tell you something. I can't sing. I used to could. I used to be real good. We cut an album 20-something years ago. But I'm going to tell you what, 30 years worth of hell.